Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So tell me what you thought of Casablanca.
I mean, it was good. I certainly liked it a lot better than The Maltese Falcon. I couldn't finish that one.
I'm okay with this. I'm very okay with.
Okay.
Because Casablanca is one of my favorite movies. And I have to not say that before we start watching these things.
Fair.
It's like when we watched Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, if you don't like this, I don't know what that's going to say about our friendship and about this whole project. Casablanca is one of the... And it's like, you cannot love it. But if you were just like, man, I don't know why you would ever have me watch this movie. Oh, scheisse. Or as the French say, merde. So, for those of you who just tuning in for the first time, willkommen. Bienvenue. Welcome.
Hiya.
You Want Me to Watch What is a project that Justin and I have been doing now for... not quite a year.
Give or take.
50 some odd episodes of suggesting and challenging each other to go back and forth watching movies that slipped under the other's radar.
Mm-hmm.
And so today, if you didn't see the beautiful Photoshop work by one Mr. Darren Wright.
You watch, this is the one he doesn't.
You know what? That's almost funnier.
That's true.
You suppose I'll be... Ingrid, or
well, I don't know. He might put you on Ingrid's body.
I don't know. Just one,
because you can't mess with Bogey.
One can never know. So, we watched Casablanca, the 1942 World War II era, you know, romantic drama. So, how to even start off with this? So, we'll go in the three acts.
Fair
right?
enough. Fair
one,
enough.
Two, three. The first act is in almost entirely set up of introducing Rick Blaine.
Yeah.
Richard, Herr Rick, boss, whatever. He owns Rick's Americane. You know, mm-hmm. Casablanca, Rick's Americane. It's a saloon. It's a saloon in unoccupied French Morocco in the city of Casablanca. And Casablanca, as the opening narration tells us, is basically the last stop for those fleeing the Nazis before they get to neutral Lisbon in Portugal and then can fly to America or take a boat.
Yeah.
But Rick stays out of politics. His stance is he doesn't stick his neck out for nobody.
Nope.
And so he just... If you're French, you're welcome. If you're German, you're welcome. If you're somewhere in between, you're welcome because all your money spends. And I'm just here to collect your money.
Yep.
Well, at the beginning of the movie, a couple of German couriers have been killed and their letters of transit have been stolen from them. These letters effectively allow someone to travel freely through occupied Europe. They are therefore very, very valuable
mm-hmm.
because Casablanca, being the last stop, is full of refugees.
Yeah.
Of any and all kinds. And Peter Lorre, because his character's name is Ugarte, has stolen them, has killed these two couriers, and he hands them to Rick. He's like, you don't like me, so I know you'll keep these safe.
Yes.
I don't know how that works, but apparently it does. Ugarte's then killed, and it leaves these two letters of transit with Rick.
To be fair, he does keep them safe.
He does keep them safe. And you get the impression that he's just holding on to them because he's planning on escaping at some point with his piano player.
Yeah.
You know, just, all right, this is going to be a good get-out-of-jail-free card whenever we can do that. Because we find out that Rick can't go back to America for whatever reason.
Yeah, they never explain.
Well, they never explain explicitly, but we get the feeling it's probably because he was running guns for Ethiopia.
Hmm.
or taking part in, like, the Spanish Civil War.
Something.
Yeah. Such as it is. So into the saloon comes Victor Laszlo and his, we find out, spouse, you know, Ilsa Lund. And they come in, and she sees Sam playing the piano, and Sam recognizes her.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't seem to recognize him right away. They go and sit down, and eventually they make a connection. And she says to Sam, I need you to play it for me again. You know, as time goes by, and just as Sam is playing this song, Rick comes over just furious, like, I told you never to play that. And then stops because he sees her.
Yep.
End of act one.
Yep.
Act two, we get the background. You know, it's not all background, but there's the background is in there. Where Rick, when he was in Paris, was with Ilsa, and they had started a romance. And just when the Germans were marching and riding their tanks into Paris, he escaped on the assumption that she was going to meet him at the train station. And instead, he gets a note that says, I can't go with you. Go without me.
Yeah.
Bye. I hope we never meet again.
Yeah.
And turns him into the cynic that he is. Well, the guy that she's with, Victor Laszlo, is a top guy in the resistance. And so they need to get out. But the Germans have a vested interest in him not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep him in Casablanca. He's made it to, he's escaped from concentration camps. Keep him in Casablanca. He needs the prefect captain to sign the thing that says he can go on. The openly corrupt.
Yes.
Louis. Excuse me. Captain Renault. That's it. Renault. And so it's not just not going to happen. So they're looking for other ways through. They find out Rick has these letters of transit. Laszlo tries to buy them. Won't sell. Why not? Ask your wife. She goes to Rick late at night, like while Victor's at a resistance meeting.
Yeah.
In Casablanca, which is a terrible place to have one of those. Anyway, she goes and tries to make him believe that she still loves him, that she'll do anything that she can to get her husband out. She'll stay.
Yeah.
But to let him out, he's like, you just have to trust me. You know, she's like, I don't know what to do. You'll have to do the thinking for both of us.
Yep.
Which is different from a movie we just watched fairly recently.
Yes.
You know. So this leads to the plan, which, you know, act two ended. Act three is basically affecting the plan. It was the last 20, 25 minutes where Rick goes to the different people. He goes to his business rival and he's like, hey, you know, I'm selling Rick's. And don't forget, Sam gets 25% of the profits. The guy's like, I know he only gets 10, but he's worth 25.
Yeah.
And my other guys still work there. Well, of course, it wouldn't be Rick's without it. You know, he's making all the overtures of leaving Casablanca on the idea that he's going to frame Victor Laszlo for a big crime, gets him sent back to a concentration camp, and then Rick gets to escape with Ilsa.
Yep.
But that's not what happens. Spoilers, by the way, for like a 75, 80-year-old movie. I guess 80 years old, 79 years old, 80 years old next year.
There you go.
No, it's 2022. December of this year, 80 years old. They get to the airfield. They start doing the thing, and Rick turns on Captain Renault and says, oh, by the way, you're not going to arrest him after all.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to do this differently. Gets Ilsa and Victor on the plane. They escape. The German general is killed. He might not have been a general. because I've got all the names and all the titles, like swimming
the German across. Dude.
Yeah, the German dude Strasser.
Yeah, who vaguely looks like, you know, a middle-aged Sean Connery, so I half expected him to start talking like this.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a German.
Yeah. Kills him because he's trying to get in the way of things, and it ends with that line, you know, Louis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful, beautiful friendship.
Yep.
This is a very simple story that has just enough tension kind of built into it to keep you going and keep you interested. The relationships are the mystery. You know, who is this Victor and what is he to Ilsa?
Yeah.
You know, what is Ilsa to Rick? You know, and then how does Captain Renault fit into all this? And how does the Ferrari, the business rival, how does he fit into this? And who's Ugarte and what does his 20 minutes have to do with this? The characters' interactions are all the subtext. It's all in the background. They don't explain that.
No.
Because it's not important. It's for us to see how they respond and act now. I would say if there's a theme, though, it's sacrifice. I mean, over and above what people are willing to sacrifice for the next thing, there is a subplot with a young couple from Bulgaria that are trying to escape, and the wife and what she's trying, she's wrestling with. What's she willing to sacrifice in order, because she's a beautiful young woman and Captain Renault is a lecherous man.
Yes.
You know, he's not a good man.
No.
There's not good people in this.
No.
For the most part.
No.
This is watching a bunch of villains kind of figure out how to do their villainy in the best way.
I think Sam would be the only.
Yeah, Sam.
Yeah.
I'm good with Sam.
Sam's the only good guy.
Yeah. You know, all right. Well, we're going to play our piano and we're going to do the thing. And,
yeah.
It's a very old movie and it has very old movie style to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very slow. In a lot of ways, it doesn't feel like it drags to me, but it's got an hour and 40 minute runtime.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really have time to drag. Each scene builds on the last. Each shot is important. You can tell most that it's not a modern movie in the camera work. Very still cameras, you know, there's not a lot. When there's movement, it's very slow. Like, you can tell that they had to have spent God knows how much time setting up the tracks to be able to wheel the cameras smoothly.
Yeah.
Things that we just take for granted now with Steadicam technology.
Mm-hmm.
But to watch how that works. And so you could see how this would work as a stage play.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, a really well done stage play, because you don't have two cameras that really bounce back and forth with things.
No.
So.
And honestly, very few settings.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the police station, you've got Rick's, and you've got, you know, other outside incidentals that could be interspersed, you know, interchanged with each other's, but just minor changes.
And just
And the airport.
The airport, the blue Ferrari's place.
Yeah.
Which you see a tiny piece of, it's a booth, is what you see there.
Yeah, well, like I said, even the places outside of Rick's Cafe Americaine, same set, same backdrop, just minor set pieces, and you don't have to have a fourth or fifth.
You just drop the sign down that says, we're at the Blue Flower, we're at the Blue Parrot,
we're in the bazaar,
so on and so forth. So, It is a movie that there are a few moments in it that just I absolutely adore. So everyone knows the ending.
Yes.
You know, you're going to get on that plane. If you don't get on the plane, you're going to regret it. You know, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life. You know, here's looking at you, kid. You know, that's where these are coming from, and they've become, they're part of our pop culture even now.
Yes.
So I like that. But the scene that gets me every time, there is a scene about two-thirds of the way through when the Germans begin singing Die Wacht am Rhein, you know, the watch on the Rhine. It's just a German hymn you know, kind of tune.
Yeah.
As, you know, dart, dart. Kind of. And when that happens, Victor Laszlo's character, Victor Laszlo goes down and he strikes up the band. He tells the band, it's like, play Marseillaise. You know, the French national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the band leader looks over at Rick and Rick nods. And it's like,
yeah,
for a guy who doesn't stick his neck out for anybody, he picked a side.
Yep.
You know, in that moment. And that scene is so ridiculously powerful.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a microcosm of the war at that time. You have the Germans versus the French. And the French, who in 1942 are not doing all that well against the Germans. Now, this is all taking place in Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
This is in California. They're not shooting on location in Casablanca, but they have French nationals that are part of the cast and the extras and so forth because they want people who can sing the French national anthem.
Uh-huh.
And so you see the looks on people's faces as they're singing this, and it is incredibly engaging.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mess. This isn't a scripted, written out song where it's like, oh, we're going to have the German song and the French song and it's going to somehow sound beautiful together.
No.
It's a mess until eventually the Germans sit down.
Yeah.
And the La Marseillaise is the only one that you can hear. It's incredibly powerful to me because, like you, I understand the history.
Yes.
Of these moments.
Uh-huh.
Without the historical context, I don't know that this film stands up.
This is true.
You know,
Yeah.
You know, so since I've been talking for a very long time now about this, talk to me about what you saw, what you experienced.
You know? Like I said, it was good. It kept my interest. It's not something that it's something that I would have to be in the mood to watch.
I do too,
because it is very heavy in terms of subject matter. World War II is not something you scoff at. No war is something to be scoffed at.
No.
There are some moments of levity, some jokes peppered in, but not overly so that it's a comedy.
No, it's not a comedy. It utilizes the comic relief.
Yes.
Where you have a lot of that, and then you'll have a line, a statement, a response, a mannerism.
Yes.
And it's like, okay.
Okay.
Whew. All right, let's build tension again.
Yes. As somebody who doesn't study film but admires it, I wish I'd watched this sooner just because of the camera work and I don't want to the cinematography, and I don't necessarily want to use the word choreography, but the way it flows.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the shots, a lot of the scenes, they just work very well.
Yeah.
Was it Blu-ray that we were watching it on?
Yes.
It still had that grainy kind of quality to the black and white, and that just made it better. I'm glad, like we were talking about with the 12 chairs, I'm glad when they cleaned it up, they didn't perfectly clean it up.
Right. Oh, man, it would lose so much if it was just that digital perfection.
Yes.
Also really expensive. Can you imagine having to clean every single bit and bob out of that?
No.
It's like watching the... if you've ever watched The Empire Strikes Back on Blu-ray.
I have not.
And we'll pop it in just to see this particular part, but Hoth. Imagine Hoth.
Yeah.
All the grain that existed in the 1980s, in late 70s, and how much it would take to get rid of all that so you didn't have grain in the white snow.
Oh.
And it's an impressive feat.
Yeah.
But it was also ridiculously expensive.
Yes.
Which they had access to.
Yeah. So as somebody who is an admirer of film, it's very well done. As somebody who studied history in college, it is still a very moving and powerful story because I know the context of the history around it at the time. And especially... It's one thing to make a movie set in a particular timepiece.
Mm-hmm.
It is another thing to make make a movie in that time frame about that time frame.
Oh, yeah.
See, making a movie like Casablanca today about World War II is a lot different than movies made during World War II about World War II.
The tension is missing.
Yes.
It is the difference between watching Jack Benny's version of To Be or Not to Be and Mel Brooks's To Be or Not to Be.
Yes.
Mel Brooks, by the time he's around, Hitler's over.
Oh, yeah.
That part's done.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he was alive for it. He served in the war during it. But it was done when he made that movie. Jack Benny is 1940.
Yeah.
So when you're making fun of Hitler in the 1940s and you don't know how it's going to end, there's a tension. There's a rawness to it. This has a bit of that.
It's like that and Charlie Chaplin's The Great Dictator, which is an active poking of the bear.
Yeah.
Specifically Hitler.
Yeah. To say specifically, hey, you, I'm punching up today.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, in hindsight, looking at something like that is just, wow.
Context changes so much.
Yes. Especially in today's society. People punch up all the time, but in a lot of ways, with the internet and how small the world has gotten while maintaining its vastness, there's a lot of anonymity that we can hide behind these days.
Mm-hmm.
There was no anonymity behind this.
Oh, no.
A studio went out of its way to say, we are Warner Brothers. This is the movie we are making. It is starring these people, and this is what it's about. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was no screen names to hide behind. You know, there was no usernames where it took maybe never to track down who these people really were.
Well, I mean, and this was a time when credits were starting to exist. And so you had the directed by, the written by, the starring, all right there. They didn't show this in Germany and cut out the credits.
No.
This just showed.
Yeah.
So
there's, as I said, from somebody who admires film and has studied history, I am personally sad that I haven't watched this sooner.
Sorry, we could have gotten to it like 26 weeks ago, but...
No. I blame myself more than you, because I knew about this movie's existence before I knew about you, my friend.
Well, I appreciate
you forget
that.
I'm older than you.
I suppose that's also true. So such as that is, this is a straight up see it from me.
Absolutely.
See it whether you know the history or not. See it whether you like the history of film or not. It's that good to me. The more you know about the time frame of the 1940s, the more impact it will have.
Yeah. I'm going to slightly disagree.
Sure.
It's a good movie and it's worth watching, but if you don't, you have to be of a certain age to understand what's going on.
Well, yes.
And I don't mean that as, you know, plunk the kids down in front of it to watch it.
Shouldn't do that.
No. But if you put a teenager down in front of it and they haven't really grasped what World War II was about, they're not going to have as much appreciation for it. This is the kind of movie you should watch once you're in college.
I'll sit with that.
Yeah. Once you hit a certain age, watch it.
Okay. I mean, I know that I watched some movies well before I was supposed to.
I understand. And there are some people who that works just fine for.
And there are some movies that because I watched them then, I don't watch them now.
Yeah.
And so I can see your argument very clearly there. Yeah. It's like for some folks, they would watch this and be like, yeah, it was boring as shit, you know, black and white drama.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the kind of movie where absolutely see it if you are old enough to appreciate what it is talking about.
Yeah. So. Your turn?
Yes, it is.
Okay.